Our Bibles, let's lift them up to the Lord. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want you to turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Today's message and what I'm going to be talking about today is a call or a call to godly living, a godly living, godly living. You know, God desires that every believer lead a righteous life. God desires for every believer to lead a righteous life. And you might say, well, what is a righteous life according to God's word? Righteousness means just right standing with Him. A righteous life that is right standing with Him. But our culture places a tremendous amount of pressure on Christians to what fit in. The doctrines of our faith are often mocked and ridiculed in the public arena. I mean, haven't we seen that? You're watching a show and they will mock Christians. They will mock His returning. They will mock prophecy. They will mock speaking in tongues. All these things. They will mock getting saved. They will say horrible things about our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And really, when I turn it and it makes me angry. You know, if you're hearing, you know, they just ridicule the things of God. Like there's no fear in their hearts towards Him. Individual believers sometimes make spiritual and moral compromises in an attempt to be accepted. How can we resist the secular influence of our times? The Apostle Paul revealed how we can stand upon the rock of ages and not fall down to the pressures of the world to fit in. To fit in. Because you see, you have to remember, when we gave our lives to the Lord, we gave our lives to the Lord, and He pulled us out of things into something else. And He expects us to live a life that is pleasing not to the world, but is pleasing to Him. And God has called Christians to come out from among them, and but be ye what? Separate. God expects Christians, He expects pastors to live a separate life, different from what the world is living. You know, the world's morality changes daily or yearly or monthly. I mean, it's constantly changing. The morality or the morals of the world change. They say, well, today it was right, but tomorrow it's wrong. Or tomorrow, or yesterday was okay, but you know, today it's not okay. I mean, just constantly changing. And we can see that in the things that are passed in laws today. Things that we never thought would have passed. Never thought it would have passed. And we know most of the time it's not so much the people that are voting for it, but it's judges that are in high authority that overrule what the people have voted for and have said is wrong and we don't want. But it's still being passed, many, many things. So the morality of the world and what they say is right, it does not coincide most of the time with what the Word of God says. And we always have to remember that the Word of God is truth based upon Him. Man's truth is based upon the humanity of man and what they think is right and wrong. But God's truth is based upon the Word of God and the righteousness of God and the Trinity of God, which is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what He said was right is right, and what he said is wrong no matter what. What he wrote about thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago in the scriptures is whatever was wrong is wrong, and whatever was right is right. That's why you'll have some say, I can't believe you give that amount of money to that church. When it doesn't matter, it's 10% is 10%. Because God says that's how we are to fund the church. That's how God has set it up. And when God says that's how you do it, that's how you do it. And what the world has said is, you don't do that. Just do good works. Good works doesn't add up to much. God's word says that it's hay and stubble that will be burned away. And so we need to remember that we are to constantly look at the morality of our God and what he said is right and what he said is wrong, and that's truth. And it does not matter what the government passes or what it does not pass. It does not matter what people say that's right and wrong, even if it's Christians. If it's not according to the word of God, it's not right. We have to stand on things. If we can look into the souls of people, even religious people, and we can see what's in their soul, it would amaze us. Thank God we can't. Thank God we can't. Only God above can. But I tell you what, if God could unveil the hearts of many pastors, it would astound us. Really, it would discourage us, me included. If God could uncover the hearts and intentions of religious people, it would destroy, it would bring real discouragement unto us. Because you see, we're to do everything towards Him and Him alone. Giving Him the praise, giving Him the glory, giving Him the honor. But how do we live? Do we live to fit into the community? Now, we are to be a part of a community, definitely. But I tell you what, how do we live? How do we live? Do we live so we can fit in? And we do the same things they do? And we go drinking and carousing and all kinds of evil stuff? My God. God says, come out from them. Come out. Because he knows, and the devil knows, that as long as the Christian does things that maybe are not good, it will bring destruction to the soul of that man. And when I say man, that person. And so we have to be aware. Now that doesn't mean there are a lot of things that God has to work on in us. But there are some major things that we know are right and we know that are wrong. And we are to do and live the way God says to live and not let down the morality of us as a Christian be falling down, and that we become just like the world and they can't tell us apart. You know, there's one teaching going around that says, well, we got to fit in. Got to fit in. That we got to go to the places where they go. We got to do some of the things they do so we can fit in and win their trust. You want to know how much from the pit of hell that is? What if you drove in Kaplan or Gaydon? I don't even know where they are, but and they had some bars. I'm sure there's some in Gaydon somewhere, huh? In Kaplan too. Okay. What if you saw my car there? You say, oh Lord, what you do, you come in, you pray for me, and drag me out. But that's right. But how you think, and what if I said, well, I'm not drinking. Now, I tell you what, if somebody called me and said my husband or somebody's in there and I need you to go, I'd go get them. I would do that. But I wouldn't go and just sit there. I don't care what I'm drinking, but just sit there. Because why? Because people are looking, and the community say, well, isn't he the pastor? Yes, didn't he? And they may not say nothing. They may talk to me and they may just, you know, hey, that's a good guy. And I'll tell you, well, I was just trying to fit in so I could talk to them about Jesus. It's not good. We got to watch the things we do. We got to make sure that we're living a holy life that would please the Father and bring honor unto Him. Because it says, come out from them. The blood changes us. And we have a new master. The blood comes in and cleanses our hearts of sin. Takes those things out. And like, oh Lord, thank you for the new life. And He brings us into a new life. And I know the Holy Spirit has to work on us. Getting rid of things. And changing us. And in our hearts and lives. But we need to live a life that is holy and pure before Him. You ever heard of the sipping saints? Not good. I mean, it's bad. Lord, have mercy. No, I'm not going to talk about that. Maybe another day. God calls us to a godly living. A godly living, people. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Look at this. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Now let me stop right here. He didn't say that you present your spirit or your soul. He didn't say that. He didn't say that. He didn't say it. A living sacrifice. Why? Because if you've already been saved. God has come in. He saves the spirit man on the inside of us. He changes that person. The price that Jesus paid on Calvary's cross was a big price. Let me tell you, Jesus wasn't, yay, I'm going to the cross. I mean, you know, He did it out of obedience. And He did it for us so we can have victory over those things. But He had victory over everything before that. He was 100% man and He was 100% God. He had victory. But it says that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. It didn't say, the Father didn't write in Scripture, present your soul and your spirit as a living sacrifice unto me. Because you see, the soul and the spirit is where God lives. God has changed that part of that person. But it's that sin nature that God is after to change us. He says, and it's ironic, that you present your bodies. He didn't say, Joe, you got to present your wife's body as a living sacrifice, or your children's bodies, or your church. He didn't say that. My responsibility and your responsibility is to lay our own selves before Him as a living sacrifice. That means that we're to sacrifice ourselves before Him. A living sacrifice. That doesn't mean we're cut up and that doesn't mean all that stuff. No, 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 no. It just means that we give ourselves unto Him. We say, Father, I'm a sacrifice unto You, my body, what I can give unto You. And Lord, as I am sacrificed unto You, You take it and help it to be acceptable unto You. And He can because of the blood of His Son, Jesus. And so we have to willingly lay our lives before Him and say, Father, move in my body. Move in me and change my life. We have to be people that are ready to change things. And we know there are many things in our lives that God needs to change. Huh? Say yes. Because, thank you, Miss Anna. I heard a yes. You know what that means? That means amen. There are many things in my life that I know God needs to change. There are many thinking patterns that God needs to change. And if God doesn't change it, we will live a life that is subpar to what God wants, where God wants us to live. But we have to willingly lay down our lives before Him as living sacrifices. And what did God say? That it is holy before Him. All God requires is to do what we can do. He didn't say, you know, to give $1,000 here or to do this. None of that. He just says, present your body as a living sacrifice unto me. You remember when Abraham went to kill his son, the promised son, that he waited over 25 years for? And as his son, they were going up the mountain. And the son said, well, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham looked and said, He'll supply it. He'll supply it. He'll supply it. And it says they got up there and Abraham took the rocks and put all the rocks and he put the wood and he did all that. Then he took his son and he tied him up. Can you imagine? I know he... tears, because this is the promised son, but God has spoken to him to sacrifice him. Let me tell you. And it says that he takes his son and he puts it upon that altar, saying, Father, you're number one. I don't understand this. I can't comprehend this thing, but I will do what you told me to do. And it says that when he went, and we know the story, to kill his son, that the angel stopped him and said, no. Now I know I'm number one. You want to know why God says, church, lay yourselves before me? Because He wants to know that He's number one. And let me tell you, I know this, even for myself, sometimes God is not number one. Let's all face the fact, huh? Sometimes God is not number one because we're not willing to lay down and be obedient to what He says to do. We think we know it all. We think we know what God's going to do. We think we know how God's going to do it. And we sometimes we come to our senses and we say, oh Lord, you far above what I am thinking. But you see, I know your heart and God knows my heart too and God knows your heart too. And He knows that that your heart is after Him. And He's looking for a people that will lay down everything and give Him everything and not hold back or be reserved on anything, saying, Father, it's yours. If you want it, it's yours. Sometimes we're too scared to say, Lord, if you want it, it's yours, because we think He's an axe for it. Huh. Oh, that's true. You might say, Pastor, how do you know that? I live that way too. I know it. But you see, the Father is saying, give me what is mine. What if God would have held back His Son? Where would we be today? What if He would have said, Son, don't die on that cross. I've changed my mind. They don't deserve it. We didn't deserve it. But He gave His Son holy, and it's acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's an amazing thing. The last part, or the perfect will of God. We don't know the perfect will of God till we start giving our lives as a living sacrifice unto Him. Then He said, you will know my will. You will know my will. How many times have we come to a place where we're saying, Lord, I don't know if this is you or not. I know. And we live, and I'm not saying anything wrong with that. We know how that is. And that's where you seek God and you say, Lord, help me to know your voice, Father. Help me to be that living sacrifice unto you that will not hold back anything from you. The one man that I think about the most is the Apostle Paul. How he gave it all. And look what God did through this man. Can you remember? Now, the Apostle Paul is not even one of the 12 disciples. Not even one of those guys. You know, we think of the disciples and praise God for them. They changed the world. But also the Apostle Paul, a man that was gung-ho on killing Christians, pulling them out of homes and their children and killing them. He was one of the guys that basically stoned Stephen, was there. They say, did he actually throw a stone? Well, you know the story. But you see, this man wrote 13 books of the New Testament. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what God could do in each and every one of us if we said, Lord, from this day forward, I'm not my own, Lord. You bought me with a price. I am yours. You have redeemed me from the cross, by the cross of Calvary. You have forgiven me of all of my sins. And from this day forward, I am totally sold out to you. Lord, draw me closer to you. Can you imagine what kind of army that would be? But this is what we have, and this is the whole church. I'm not talking about just this one. The body of Christ is this way. This is the world. This is God. They have one foot with God because they don't want to go to hell. That's the only thing. And they have one foot in the world. They're saying, I want to party, and I want to do things that I want to do. It's a selfish mentality. You see, we got to say this, Lord, take the desire out of the world, out of me. And Lord God, let me put both feet in you, Lord. Let me be consecrated unto you, Father, from this day forward. Let me live a life. I know I'm not perfect, but Lord, I will strive to do whatever I can to do your will, Lord. To do your will. To do your will. To do your will. But a lot of people, and you can say even Christians, are uncomfortable with the moving of the Holy Spirit. Uncomfortable. Now, if you're uncomfortable, I have to question a lot about your salvation. I have to question it. We have to question. We should desire the things of God and what He's doing in our hearts and lives. Number one, God calls to surrender our lives to Him as living sacrifices is a reasonable because He redeemed us from the spiritual darkness and adopted us as children. Paul gives salvation or explains salvation in Romans chapter 1. And he gives victorious Christian living towards us. But he urges believers to give control of their lives to God in light of all He has done for us. Can you imagine? God is saying surrender. It's a shame that God has to say surrender after we accept Him as Lord. But that's okay. God loves us. And God loves the whole. And when I say you, I mean me too. You know, the whole church. Okay? But God is saying surrender. Surrender. It's like, two armies are fighting. And people are dying. Horrible things are happening on both sides. Till one day, one lifts up the white flag and says, I surrender. You know that old song, I surrender all, I surrender all. God is saying, live a holy life. Surrender to me. Surrender to me. Surrender to me. I say, well, Pastor, how do I do that? This is how you do it. You sit down, you kneel, whatever you want to do. And you say, Lord. Now, this may sound hard, but this is what you say. Lord, I surrender to you. Not my will anymore, or my selfish intentions, or my self-righteousness anymore. But, Father, I surrender to your will. I was listening to somebody on a Christian channel, and they were just talking about the coming of the Lord. And they just said, you know, it could be 5 years, 10 years. And he said, I think maybe at most 15 years that the Lord's coming. And we might be amazed if we could look back, who may stay when He comes. You might say, well, Pastor, if they accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they will go. Well, to a certain extent, yes. To a certain extent, no. You got to live for Him also. You got to live for Him. And it says that He's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. Without spot or wrinkle. We need to keep preaching the Word of God. It may not be a popular thing, but that's okay. How do you think Noah felt when he was building that ark? As he's building the ark, preaching the Word of God, trying to get some people in there. And when God closed that door, how many were in there? Just his family. That's all. That's all. We need to live lives that are pleasing and holy unto God. Now, you would say, Pastor, I don't know how to do it. I understand. Number one, put your faith in Him and Him alone, in the cross of Calvary. When you put your faith in Him, you're saying, Lord, Your will be done. And the Holy Spirit comes and helps to clean up. That's the job of the Holy Spirit, to clean up the Christian of things. To clean up those things that we know are hindering us from becoming what God wants us to be. And as He cleans us up, He leads us and directs us in the right place. Number two, as we surrender to Him, number two, we must make the choice to give control to the Father. As God's people, we no longer have the right to run our own lives. But He still allows us to choose whether or not to surrender. Your entire being, including your mind, will, and emotions, should be yielded to God. We need to be yielded unto Him, to the Father. We need to make sure our lives are acceptable unto Him and holy sacrifice. Now, I'm not talking about a religious type thing. Anybody can really be religious. I'm talking about a relationship with Him. Where we say, Father, you know, there are some things. There are some things that we cannot overcome personally, or you personally in your own, and we know what they are. There are some things, because of the influence of demonic powers and just our own selves, that and the sin nature inside, we cannot overcome. But we know someone who has overcome it all. That's the one we put our faith in what He did. And He helps us to overcome, not in our own merit, but in the merit of the Son Jesus Christ and His blood, helping us to overcome. That's where our faith needs to be, in our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul warns in 12:2, it says that, be not conformed to this world at all. We are to resist conforming to the world's image, and we must be transformed by the renewing of our minds. By the renewing of our mind. Philippians 4:8. Man, it's only 11 o'clock, y'all. God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everybody just turned around and looked. I know it. If you don't have a watch on or you don't have your phone, you turn around and that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. What? My stomach says something different. It's not 11 o'clock. I think it's 11:30. Look at this, people. Look at this. It says this, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. One of the greatest battles of every Christian is this thing right here. I know it. I know it. The mind. Some people have been mad at me, and I don't even know why. Because they had an argument in their mind of what they thought I said or did. And that, and I'm saying me because I know that happens with everybody. Because this thing is constantly going. But God says this, we're to control this thing. And it can only be controlled by the Spirit of God. Many times I'll be just on the route, walking, doing my stuff, you know. And, you know, the devil just throws something in there. I mean, you know, just he can only do from the outside. He can't do from the inside, but the outside. You know how that is. And we know it's not God. And I'll just say, Father, the blood of Jesus be against that thought in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus be against that thought in Jesus' name. Because you see, the Bible says this, we're to think on things that are true. How many times do we think of things that aren't true? Now, we think it may be truth in here, but it's not truth. Not true. They didn't mean it that way, or they didn't say it that way, or whatever. Whatever's going on in your particular situation, God says to think on things that are true. Well, we know this, the Word of God is truth. So when we think of on the Word of God and it becomes a part of the mindset in us, we know that is truth. That is truth. That Jesus says that He loves us. That's truth. For God so loved the world that He gave. He loves us. That's truth. God says He gives mercy and grace to His people. That's truth. God says that He has an abundant life for us. That is truth because it's His Word. God says He wants us to live a life that is pleasing and acceptable and holy unto Him. That's truth. We're to think on things that are true, things that are honest. Whatsoever things are just, things that are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We need to apply the biblical truth of the Word of God to our hearts. As we go about our day, ask God to show us how to put into practice the principles of the Word of God. The principles of the Word of God. You know, and I'm going to be closing. We can't know the principles of God unless we read about them. We can't know the statutes of our God and His ways unless we read about it. We can't know it unless we read about it. And we pray and God puts it in our hearts. Or we read about it and it comes into our minds and we know the Word of God. I remember years ago, I was talking to someone. We were talking and we said, oh. And we gave them, they were talking and I said, oh, it's like the biblical story. And I told them the story and I just named what it was. This is Christian people. I remember she looked at me and said, what? And I looked back at her and I thought, oh my God. They didn't know about the story that I was talking about at all. And I said, well, after a while I said, well, where were you going to church? I was just trying to get some picture of this amazement to me. And it was some big church somewhere in another state, not even around here. And I said, well, how long did you go there? And I mean, she talked like 10, 15 years. And I thought, oh. And I thought, oh, my God. The principal truths of the Word of God. Not knowing some biblical stories of things. And if I told you what it was, you'd know the story right away. Because you see, you read your Word. And you have a pastor that preaches the Word. But I said, we need to get back to the Word of God and live that holy life before Him. Saying, Father, when we get up in the morning, Lord, help me to live a life that is pleasing to You, Lord. Lord, order my footsteps. Order my ways. Lord, order the things that I do today, Lord. Help me to be pleased. And look, when you fail, because you will, I'm going to let you know today, you're going to fail at something. Rita, you're going to fail. Me too. They're all shucks. But the Word says this, if we don't know it, we have an advocate with the Father. That we can go to Him and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Whatever it may be. I'm not talking about gross things. I'm not. But just, we know, Father, forgive me. And it says that the Father forgives us. The Scripture says so. And it says that He wipes us clean like we've never done it at all or before. And we can get up from our knees, or we can get up, you know, from where we are or whatever, and say, Father, thank you for your forgiveness. But if we don't know the Word, we will live in doubt. We will live in guilt. We will have guilt that the devil throws. But you see, when you know the Word of God, you say, and the devil comes and says, yeah, but you did. You say, yes, but the blood. And let me tell you, he doesn't like that. Yes, but the blood. Because you see, the blood is the victory point for us as human beings. Not victory point for God, because he's always won. But the cross of Calvary, and I'm about to close, is the victory point, the ringing of that bell, the victory point for humanity. And the devil hates hearing or hearing the blood, about the blood, because that's the victory of our lives. The cross of Calvary, the blood that was shed, the blood that was presented to the Father on behalf of all the sins of humanity. So when the devil comes after you, remind him of the blood. Remind him of the cross of Calvary. Remind him of where he's going. Remind him of that. And I tell you what, he will leave you alone, because he doesn't want the mentioning of the blood of Jesus to happen. You may stand, please. The key to living a godly life is full surrender to the Lord. That means we must let God have complete control over our lives. The Lord is looking for faithful men and women who will stand up for truth in a world that is increasingly opposed to the gospel. Rather than base your standards on popular opinions, allow Scripture to set your values. Answer the Lord's call to a godly life, and you will never be the same. Never be the same. Allow Scriptures, the Word of God, to set your values. To set your values. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise and glory and honor unto you. Praise and glory and honor unto you. Yes, Lord. As every head is bowed, every eye closed for just a minute. If you haven't given your heart to the Lord and you'd like to give your life to Him this day, you might say, Pastor, I've given my heart and my life, but I am not fully surrendered to Him yet. I have backed up, and now I'm ready to go forward. Would you please raise your hand? Would you please raise your hand? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. You may look this way. I need to tell you one other thing. Y'all know Cindy Kibido that stands right here? She sits right here. She's on her way to Oklahoma. Huh? She just found out she has cancer. And it's cancer of the lungs. Is that right? And the lip nodes. Her and her husband are traveling today because they're going to Oklahoma. There is a treatment place there. And so the reason, and I've asked her, and she said it was fine for me to share it with, I'm asking you to keep her in prayer this week. Her name is Cindy Kibido. Pray for her. Ask God to move and bring healing to her body. And we've seen already great things, and God has already done some things, and it's just amazing. But I'm asking you to keep her in prayer. Her and her husband are traveling today. Ask God to protect them as they go and all that stuff and to be with them. And asking God just to move upon that family. Just to move upon that family and bring healing to her body. Amen. And as we close, I'm going to pray for her as we close. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for today. Father, I thank you for your mighty move of your Spirit. I thank you for the Word of God that went forth. I thank you for positioning our lives back to the main direction of you, Lord God, that we are going to live lives that are pleasing unto you. But Father, I lift up Cindy to you, and I lift up her husband to you. And Lord God, I pray first of all for her that you'd bring healing to her body. Lord, you are a God that can do mighty things, Lord. And Lord God, your word says that by your stripes, Lord God, that you bore upon your back, that she is healed, Father. And Lord God, we claim the healing power of heaven, of our Savior upon her life, Lord God. And Father, be with her. And Lord God, I pray that the peace of God would be around her and her husband, Lord God. Surround them. And Lord, I just pray that this thing, Lord God, will be used to reconcile and just do some good things in their personal lives, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Protect them as they travel there and back, and be with them. And we ask this through your name, Father, name above all names. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.